The Human Podcast features weekly service audio from the Unitarian Universalist Metro Atlanta North Congregation of Roswell, Georgia. Please visit us at human.org.
Good morning, human.
Good morning.
I'm Valeria Camaño, and I'm a member of this congregation. While our minister, Reverend Dave Dunn, is on his sabbatical, we have been fortunate to have an outstanding lineup of guest sabbatical speakers. We have another great speaker today, our very own Reverend Kim Palmer. Kim is an ordained Unitarian Universalist minister serving as an affiliated community minister with UMIN. She is a board-certified chaplain and served Emory University in the dual role of chaplain and spiritual health researcher until retiring with her wife, Marty. She continues to train chaplains and supports research projects at Emory and elsewhere as a contractor. When not working, she and Marty chip away at numerous house and yard projects and enjoy kayaking on local rivers and lakes. On behalf of Kim, our Director of Religious Exploration, Lexi Brown, Music Director, Alex Peach, my fellow worship associates, and the dedicated technical team that is making today's live stream possible, I would like to welcome you all to the Unitarian Universalist Metro Atlanta North Congregation, which we lovingly call UMIN. We are a liberal faith community with the mission to nurture our spirit, strive for justice, and transform the world. No matter who you are, whom you love, or where you are on your spiritual journey, you are welcome here.
We live in a transient world. We move through our lives with both grace and uncertainty, with detours and new directions, with successes and stumbles. For everything and everyone we care about, there is the certainty of change, the risk of loss, and yet the opportunity for growth. How might we weather these changes? I invite you to consider where you are sitting, who is around you. This is a community of care and support, of learning and connecting. We meet here to join in an exploration of ourselves, of our relationship with the world. Bless you. and of our sense of the sacred. Here we pause weekly in the midst of the turmoil of our lives. We encourage each other, we draw strength from one another, and we accompany each other through the vicissitudes of life, anchored by our values and buoyed by our faith. Come, let us worship together.
And now let us light our chalice together. Loss is nothing else than change, but the universe delights in change, and all things done in alignment with nature are done well. Marcus Aurelius, Meditations. Now turn to your paperback hymnal to number 1052. As we rise in body or spirit, Alex will play through once, and then we will all sing together.
Thank you.
Good morning. As many of you know, Marty and I will be moving to North Carolina at the end of June. It's a big transition, not just for us, but for Human too. We've been here for 20 years. We've worked with and gotten to know many of you. And I'd like to think there's mutual affection there. As I face my own move, I've been thinking about other transitions I've seen or been a part of, and what lessons they might hold for me in this moment, or really for all of us in our journey through life. The last few years have seen quite a few major changes in the world and in our lives. There's a lot to get adjusted to. I mean, just think about COVID. We had shutdowns at our places of work and schooling. Many people had to figure out how to get groceries safely, how to take care of distant family members, how to entertain ourselves when everything was closed, how to cope with the isolation of being shut in at home. Even Human went online, and we had to stop meeting in person for an extended time. I'm probably not the only one who found these changes sudden and bewildering. In early 2020, right at the beginning of COVID, I was working at Emory on a study for chaplains and how they interact with patients. Our last day of data collection was scheduled for February 28, a Friday. And then the following Thursday, I was scheduled to sit on a review committee to evaluate candidates who were applying to become certified as chaplains, board certified chaplains. That previous day, Wednesday, we were talking about whether or not to hold the candidate reviews in person or cancel them. We did hold them in person, and that was the last thing that I did with a group of people before the whole world shut down. The next day, I cleaned out my office and started working remotely. Working from home was initially very disorienting. I was distracted by the news of rising rates of infection, hospitalization, and death, not to mention the constant barrage of news about police brutality, children in cages at the border, and government corruption. Although my job in spiritual health at Emory was in research, I felt guilty at leaving my chaplain colleagues on the front lines of the pandemic, with the whole hospital increasingly short-staffed and stressed. It was hard for me to be productive. I remember drawing comfort from a post on Facebook that said something like, "You aren't working through a pandemic, you're living through a pandemic, and you're trying to work at the same time." Author William Bridges views transition as a natural process of disorientation and reorientation, a three-phase process of ending, lostness, and beginning. This was certainly true for me. The work life I had known was gone. I was disoriented and floundering, lost. But gradually I did get reoriented, and I found much about the enforced isolation that was beneficial to me. Marty was working at home too, and for once we actually had quite a bit of time to spend together. Even though we both looked long hours, we could split them up more easily with time together during the day. Without my daily 3 hours of commute, there was more time in each day for self-care. We started taking walks at lunchtime. We planted a garden and took time out of each day to tend it. We discovered that we really liked spending time together, and we looked forward to the day we would have more of it. It was partly that experience that led us toward early retirement. Then, when the world began opening up after the worst of COVID, and after we retired and had more free time, we found ourselves transitioning into a time of renewing and expanding friendships. We strengthened our ties with our neighbors, passing vegetables from our garden around and chatting over fence lines. With our practice of daily walks, we became known in the neighborhood and made some new friends. One person we met While she was working in her yard, she came over to meet our new dog and struck up a conversation. The next time we had extra garden veggies, we took some by for her. And she was so pleased to get them that we put her on our regular rotation. We would chat on her front porch while she munched on green beans. And we got her number so we could text when we were on our way with the delivery. One day she texted a warning that we might soon see different faces answering the door as they were moving at the end of the month. She said, "I'm so bummed. We were just getting to know you guys, and now we're moving." I felt sad about it too. We took the family a cooler full of bottled water and ice on moving day. They were so grateful. Our new friend said it was perfect timing, because they had to go to the lawyer to sort out some detail of closing to make it official, and they didn't have anything to take, like water or anything to drink. Her ordeal made me think about the transition of moving. They had been renting a house for 6 years since moving to the US from Australia, but in that hot market, the owners wanted to sell. They had been having difficulty finding something to buy because every house that went on the market was snapped up within hours. They had 3 teen to young adult children and a house full of accumulated stuff they had to sort through to figure out what to donate or pack. And on top of that, they had recently had a plumbing problem and were involved in the cleanup of the flood. Here on display is the kind of both and that comes with a transition. The loss of a familiar neighborhood, the loss that comes with culling through possessions and deciding which need to be discarded, the loss of the things damaged in the flood. And yet they were stepping into something new and exciting, a new home, new neighbors to get to know, new friends to make. When we delivered the water, I was struck by the faith they had in the move. Even as they were about to go to the lawyer to finish the closing process, they were loading a U-Haul truck. The closing wasn't even complete. There was a faith in stepping into the unknown, a belief that everything would work out, that I found compelling. We also renewed contact with another woman in our neighborhood. She and her brother were outside folding up a large rug and stuffing it in their garbage bin when we went by on our walk. Boxes and furniture were piled in the carport. We had spoken with this woman a few times when we first moved into our home in 1993, and I think we might have seen her once or twice in passing, but here she was in her yard, so we stopped to visit. She too had experienced a recent flood into the basement where her mother's condo had been emptied after her mother had died. She talked about the difficult past few years, her mother's death, selling the condo, a very busy work schedule, and now she was heartbroken at the thought that her mother's possessions, many of which had sentimental value for her, were ruined by the flood. Again, we see the sorting that goes on through a transition, the loss, the adjustment to things left behind, the disorientation of being in this middle space, the potential to emerge into a new orientation. We returned a couple of days later with some vegetables for her. When I asked how she was doing, she began to weep. She spoke again of the difficult years of her mother's death and of her gratitude for her brother and her son who had been helping her sort through the water-damaged things. "Thank God for their help," she said, "because you know, I'm all alone." I wondered if this was more a consequence of feeling the weight of her mother's death than an existential aloneness, whether the grief over the damaged stuff was really the unfinished mourning over losing her mother. I offered her a hug, and she clung to me, sobbing in my arms. Seeing her raw grief reminded me of the dual nature of transitions. As she stands in the wreckage of her loss, she also stands on the precipice of a new beginning. Marty's mother also recently faced a new beginning. In her mid-80s and a long time widowed, she had been struggling to manage in her freestanding home. She sold her house and then shuttled between a couple of her sons for a few months at a time. Disorientation on top of disorientation. As she left her home of over 40 years and was without a permanent place of residence. With the onset of some memory issues and a greater need for structure and personal care, she moved into an assisted living facility near one of her sons in Iowa. This transition had been over a year in the making, and while she could look forward to a place of her own, a community in which to settle and someone else to do the cooking, there were also great losses. The loss of her long-term home and the severe downsizing that was required to shift to a more constrained lifestyle. The loss of physical ability and independence that necessitated a move to assisted living. The loss of control and agency as others made decisions on her behalf. As with any transition, she needed to take the time to mourn her old life and how she fit into it, to experience the disorientation that comes with dislocation after decades of rootedness, and to let go of a lifetime of accumulated things. Ultimately, it was a good move for her. She is sociable, kind, and outgoing, and was able to make friends easily. Once the responsibility for personal care had been lifted from her children, they were able to spend time visiting her, simply enjoying her company. Reorientation did come in time, and she feels quite settled now. But as William Bridges would say, there is an ending and then a beginning and an important or empty fallow time in between. The heart can't be rushed. We must give ourselves over to the passage between the old and the new, and we must have faith that it will be okay. So now I'd like to tell you about my own upcoming transition, my own in-between time, and the lessons I bring to it from my reflection on these transitions I have seen all around me. This story begins 6 years ago when my niece moved to Atlanta to get a nurse midwife degree at Emory. Her boyfriend came with her and worked while he pursued a master's degree online. After they finished up their education, they got jobs locally in their fields. All the while, we were only 45 minutes away and able to see them every few weeks for dinner or other adventures. And because they didn't have recycling at their building, we picked up theirs and added it to ours, which meant that we had to swing by often enough that they didn't get overrun with cans and bottles that were accumulating. When they got married in 2019, I did the ceremony. These are folks we were close to and had regular engagement with. Then, almost 2 years ago, they had a baby. I know some of you in this congregation have young children. Some of you have grandchildren. Some have even announced a new arrival as recently as last week. So I know that you know what I'm talking about when I say, that baby is cute as a button and has completely stolen our hearts. In fact, because my niece is a midwife and knows a thing or two about childbirth, they didn't make her stay in the hospital overnight. And I was able to hold that child when it was only hours old. Marty and I are quite serious about our role as great aunties. And the family, we're now known as the Gronties. Being so close to them has been a blessing. We were able to see the baby grow, and our visits included the occasional help with diapers or dinner or story reading or bedtime, bath time. We even received a couple of calls. Our childcare fell through. Could the Gronties come down and babysit? What a joy to be close enough to be able to help, and to know and be known by our grandniece, and to expand our connections to our niece and nephew as they moved into this period of parenthood. Then, dun 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 dun. Late last year, they announced they were moving to Durham, North Carolina. They had both gotten their undergraduate degrees in North Carolina, They still had a community of friends up that way. And the houses were more affordable than anything they could find in Atlanta. Marty's immediate thought was, we need to move to Durham. We helped them move up in February, checked out the area, began looking at houses online. We found a realtor here, got our house ready to go on the market, listed it, and went to Durham last week to go house hunting. And now, here we are. Our house is under contract, and our offer on a place within walking distance from my niece has been accepted. Unless something derails the deal, it looks like we'll be moving to Durham at the end of June. Did I mention that big transitions can be disorienting? We are excited but scared, happy but grieved, anxious but anticipating. As I think about making this giant change and leaving this community, I'm keeping in mind the lessons I've learned from watching these other transitions around me. Take time to grieve what's being left behind. Be open to the possibilities and what lies ahead. Let things unfold in their own time. Don't be worried about being in a time of disorientation. Be guided by your core values. And have faith. Faith that everything will be okay. Faith that you're on the right track. And if you aren't, you can change it. Faith that you're capable of making the journey through the in-between time and that orientation and clarity will come. We all have transitions in life, changing or losing a job, getting into or out of a relationship, having kids arrive or having them grow up and leave home, experiencing changes in our mental or physical abilities. Through all the changes in life, it helps to remember that for each new beginning, there must be an ending of what came before. Even happy beginnings are tinged with loss. Let's honor our grief, trust ourselves through the in-between time, and see each new beginning as a chance to grow and expand. May the universe bless you on your journey.
let us extinguish this chalice. We extinguish this flame, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These we carry in our hearts until we are together again.
I leave you with this benediction by George G. Brooks. May the love that gives to life its beauty, the reverence that gives to life its sacredness, and the purpose that gives to life its deep significance be strong within each of us and lead us into ever-deepening relationships with all of life. Amen. The service is ended. Go in peace.
The Unitarian Universalist Metro Atlanta North Congregation of Roswell, Georgia, thanks you for listening to the Human Podcast. Background music, courtesy of Tim Moore from Pixabay.